Hello there. So, I can't find my headphones, so I'm kind of doing this without knowing what it sounds like. So I hope it's not too loud or too harsh. And I don't know if you can hear it, but Walker's over here purring up a storm. So hopefully that's not too distracting. I have had the kids off and on for the last 2 weeks, and so I haven't been able to record for you, mostly because I can't get a moment alone. And I haven't been working from home very much either. But I'm off today because I'm sick. I feel like every message I send you, I'm sick. But this is kind of a continuation of the last illness. I thought it was strep. I don't know if that's what you call it there, but it's like a really bad sore throat. Usually there's an infection involved, but this is not like that. What I heard secondhand was that my stepfather had it also, and it's a virus, and it reacts, or it acts very much like strep. So you get the ridiculous sore throat, you can't really eat, you just take copious amounts of ibuprofen and wait for it to go away. But it's gotten some better. I just needed some rest. So I've been home today and woke up from a nap and saw that you had sent me a little message, which was so nice. I was so happy to see it. And then immediately felt incredibly guilty because I haven't been able to record for you. So, here I am, recording finally, for my sweet Ian. I was really concerned to hear that you had been in the hospital. I think it's funny, it's a side note here, but I think it's funny that Brits always say, in hospital. And here we always say, in the hospital. I don't know why. I don't know what the difference is. But it's just, I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad to know that they were able to take care of your infection. And that you were able to get the shots, that you needed for your eyes, so fingers crossed that you get some of that control back. I know it'll make a huge difference for you. Selfishly, I want to have you back in a more tangible way, but obviously that's not the top priority. Getting you back to where you can do some of the things you like to do is the big thing, and so I'm hoping that that happens for you. Not a whole lot has been going on here. Had some minor drama with the ex and the stepmom, but I think we've finally come to an agreement that will keep that from happening all the time. I leveled with him and said, look, I don't think that my interaction with their stepmother is ever going to be something that goes well. She has already formed some pretty strong opinions about me, and I can't change that. And while I don't really care, I don't want more drama. And he agreed. So we figured out a way to sort of keep us apart without causing too much disruption to the kids. So, and it seems to be working really well. The kids are staying with my grandfather before and after school, and they really enjoy it. He really enjoys it, and so I think it's making a big difference. And I think it'll make things between, you know, myself and my ex much more, I don't know, much easier to deal with, I guess, is where we're going with this. So, there's that. Just trying to get ready for the holidays. I know it's only October, but it takes me a while to kind of get in that mode and to get everything planned and ready. especially this year. This is the first year that I won't have the kids on Christmas. I'll have them on Christmas Eve. So I will have them for the holiday, but it's just different. It's a shift in the way we celebrate. And so I want to make sure that our time together on Christmas Eve feels like Christmas. 'Cause in years past, that's been my like last day to get everything done. So I'm usually scrambling and trying to get everything together. Yeah. Let's see. What else is going on? So we've had kind of a major issue in the U.S. I don't know if you're getting the news or not. But there was a mass shooting in Vegas. And it's interesting because the shooter was just a white male. No presumed ties to any terrorist organizations, and none that they can find. They're still trying to figure out a motive, but he mowed down something like 59 people that were attending a concert and wounded 500 some odd people. But this has sort of awoken the gun control argument again. And one of the things that they're talking about is something that something that he used to turn his semi-automatic weapons into automatic weapons. It was called a bump stock. And so it's been talked about a million times on the radio lately. And, I don't know. So apparently it's just a modification that you can make to your weapon. And hearing it, there were some videos taken at the scene because people were at a concert. And so you can hear the gunshots, and it sounds like a war zone. I mean, it just was, I can't imagine what it must have been like to be there. And what I don't understand is that government officials are still hem-hawing about whether or not they want to pass any gun control laws. It's just, it's mind-blowing. And I think in the States, we just get caught up in this idea of having the freedom to do whatever we want. But there's no consideration for maybe we disallow this freedom or that freedom because it puts all of us at risk because there are people that will misuse it. I don't know. But given the presidency we have right now, I can't imagine that anything of consequence is going to come out of this, which is amazing. It's the biggest mass shooting we've had in the States ever. It's interesting to me because the next largest mass shooting we've had was at a gay club. And nothing came out of that. And considering that gay people are still treated like second-class citizens here, it's not altogether surprising. But the demographic that was attacked this time, these were like your, and this is maybe, no, this is totally an overgeneralization, but typically country music fans are usually your conservative, religious, Republican. I mean, you know, these are typically the right wing. And of course, there's going to be large pockets of exceptions to that rule. But it's interesting to see how these people are mowed down, just slaughtered. It was terrible. And still nothing. I don't know. I think the only thing they're talking about right now is a ban on bump stock. And I just don't, I feel like it's not going to do anything, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not a politician. The other thing that was sort of funny, not funny, was that there's been several hurricanes and earthquakes lately. Two terrible earthquakes in Mexico and three fairly decent size hurricanes that hit down within the Gulf of Mexico and Florida. And Puerto Rico, which is, this is where I should be ashamed of myself. I'm not sure if we just own them sort of as a province, or if, I'm not sure what their relationship is with the states. I just know that they're considered citizens. So, Puerto Rico was all but destroyed. I mean, the infrastructure is just gone. The power grid is pretty much gone. And it took forever for us to get help to them. And then after this Twitter battle with the mayor of San Juan, which is the capital city, Trump decides he's going to go down there. So he goes down, and the what do you want to call it? The press briefing that he holds, he's sitting there with the governor of Puerto Rico, and he's comparing their death count to that of Katrina. And Hurricane Katrina killed hundreds in New Orleans. I don't know if you remember. But he was telling them how proud they should be of themselves that not more of them died. Just utterly ridiculous. And the worst part about that was that they were saying, and they had been saying for a while, that there were large parts of the island where no one had been able to get in yet. So the death count was already super low for what it probably actually was. So there's that. Then there's this photo op that he does with victims. They're, you know, the people are homeless, they don't have any food, there's no power, it's hot. It's just a hot mess. So he's in this room and he's surrounded by, you know, people that live there. And he's chucking rolls of paper towels out into the crowd. Like, he's not handing them supplies. He's tossing them like you would toss t-shirts at a sporting event. Like, just, I don't understand. I really don't understand how someone is this out of touch with reality. I just, oh Lord. I don't know. It's just funny to me because I feel like people are still standing by him and talking about what a great president he is, and I just can't figure out how they can be so blind. I think it's just stubbornness. I don't know. It's a mess. Our country's a mess. And you're like, why are you talking to me about politics? Oh, me. I had been watching 13 Reasons Why. And I don't know if you have that there, but it was based on a book. And the premise is that this is also going to be super uplifting. The premise is that this girl is a high school student and she's being bullied, not in the traditional sense, more that people are just being shitty to her. So she decides to kill herself. And so when the show starts, that's already happened. But the show is this one particular character who has been presented with 13 tapes, cassette tapes, mind you. And on each one of the tapes, she gives a reason why she killed herself. She recorded all of this before she did it. And each tape is attributed to one person in the high school population. So part of what goes on is sexual assault and the show also toward the end shows her committing suicide in a pretty graphic way. And so when the show was released here, there was a lot of drama about whether or not it was appropriate to show and whether or not children should watch it, etc. And I watched it with the intention of watching it with my kids. Not all of them, but the older two. But they were disinterested. They didn't want to watch it. And the weird part is that it's the high school, it's the typical high school drama kind of show, which most teenagers want to watch. But Wyatt, you know, he's 14. He just wanted to watch it for whatever, you know, relationship-y kind of stuff was going on. But I did get to have a conversation with him about, you know, how you treat other people directly affects their mental health. And sometimes you can be the icing on the cake that pushes them over the edge, or the final straw, or however you want to put that. And it was interesting to listen to him talk and talk about kids at his school and how people treat them. And he likes to come off like he's this big, hard ass, you know. And he doesn't have emotions. He does, but he doesn't. I don't know. And it bugs me, because it's not what you want for your kid. You don't want them to be emotionless and hard and, yeah. But he's also a boy, so I try to, like, not worry so much, because he's, you know, he's trying to be like the men around him, right? But I'm trying to get him to understand that being a man doesn't mean that you don't care, and it doesn't mean that you aren't soft-hearted and having emotions about things and caring about people and having opinions about, you know, people around you. It's being human. So, it was good. It was good just to talk through that with him and to understand that he gets it. He understands his impact on the people around him. And that he knows what to do if he starts to feel like life isn't worth living anymore, you know? But it was a good show just to open that door, have that dialogue, because sometimes it's difficult to have conversations like that with your kids just out of the blue. When they get older, they just want to shut you down. They don't want to have those discussions. They're unpleasant. I had to have a conversation with him as well about, you know, if you're going to have sexual relations with someone, just rather than doing them without a condom or without any kind of protection, just tell me. I won't be happy about it, but I'm not going to let you run off and do it without protection. Where his father would just tell him to put his dick away, you know? So, but his face was so red the entire time. I told him, I was like, it may not even be on the radar right now. I said, but you need to know before anything happens. I know. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. I can hope that he'll make good decisions, but as you well know, that doesn't always happen. I guess that's it, really. I've babbled on for 24 and a half minutes about politics and TV. And you've probably been hearing the cat cleaning himself over here, because he has no manners. Oh, my darling, I love you. I love you and I miss you. It was so good to hear your voice today. I hope the medicine works for your eyes. But I guess we just have to wait and see, huh? I'll try to record again for you soon. I don't have the kids next week, so I will probably work from home at least one day, and then I'll be able to record a little for you again. But I'll talk to you soon. I love you. Goodbye, my beloved. Be well.